of going the second mile, and that's how we want to handle claims in dealing with other people. And number four, we want to contribute to building a stronger brotherhood and interchurch relationships. And I think that's one that we've done fairly well at. There's a number of different types of churches that are part of MMA that qualify according to the bylaws. And there's some variation in how those churches do church, but it's always a blessing to get together with those brothers once a year and fellowship with all those different brethren. For tonight, Mike will be having a devotional, and he'll probably ask if you have any announcements. And then I will be going over the bylaws with you, and then Mark will be talking about what to do if you have an accident. And then Mike will close by talking about some of the transition details that will occur in February. So I'll turn the time over to Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to all of you. Thank you for coming to this. I thought while I was sitting up here, I think in the 21 years that I've lived in Kansas, I think this is the first time that I've looked at your pews from this side. But it's time has a way of moving along, and we're glad that you're here. One of the main highlights of Motorist Day that I think of is the opportunity in another church situation to help each other out, to bear each other's burdens, and that's kind of what I'd like to touch on just a little bit. Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to read the first 10 verses. These are very well-known verses because we refer to bearing each other's burdens a lot in church life, and that's the way it should be. Galatians chapter 6, I'll start at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I'll stop there. The key verse for Motorist Day that you'll see on your little proofs of coverage is verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I've often wondered what the people at the tag office think when they see that. What the law officer sees or thinks when he looks at it at an accident scene or other things. But I think it's a testimony that we say and we hope we mean what we say. Don't think about it very often. We have brotherhood plans for our property coverages. We have plans that take care of numerous things, and helping each other with coverage for our vehicles, I think, is a good way. When I first started driving, we didn't have this available yet, and I'll tell you, 16 years old, insurance coverage is kind of steep, and I was as thankful as my parents were, I think, when Motorist Day became available at Archer's. So we talk about bearing each other's burdens in verse 2, but then verse 5 almost sounds like a contradiction. It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. I don't think it is a contradiction the way I would see that there's there are things that each of us, I think, have to bear for ourselves, personally. But there are many times where we can help each other and bear each other's burdens in whatever situation we find ourselves. And I think there's blessing in that when we can follow Christ's way, we can experience these blessings. And I know all of us have experienced that at some time or another and could think of stories where we're blessed when someone helps us, and hopefully we can be a blessing to someone else when we help them out as well. I'll jump down to verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I believe that this verse is true, and I'm sure that you've all experienced it as well as I have. There are times when we just simply get tired of doing all the good things that we are so good at doing. But his encouragement is not to be weary in these well-doings. Talks about reaping, and I don't know what all the reaping looks like. We might not ever know this side of eternity, but it says we shall reap if we don't give up, if we don't fall down in our job. He puts a little emphasis in verse 10 about doing good unto all men, but he follows it right up with, but especially to those who are the household of faith. And that is one thing that I believe is good to remember. Our brothers and sisters in the church are our very first and foremost priority. Let's take the opportunities that come to help each other when we can. And I think that's true not only in Motor State, but in all the other things that we can get involved with as well. Another thing to think about in regards to brotherhood is the idea of the golden rule. We like to say that Mennonite Motor State is not an insurance, and it's not. It has some similar aspects to it, but it, in a lot of ways, though, it's not really even close. If you had commercial insurance, your provider may at times check up on your driving record to see how you're doing and see if they need to raise the rates to cover your risky driving or driving habits. But very, very seldom does your Mennonite Motor State rep do that. And I think while there might be situations where that might be necessary, I think for the most part, it's we do what we do because we are a brotherhood and we like to watch out for each other. So basically what I'm saying, I said it to our youth, I keep telling my children it as well, careless driving and speeding are a burden that your brother in the church doesn't have to bear, shouldn't have to bear. And it's not right to make the other brothers and sisters in the church pay for our carelessness in our driving habits. Another side of that is that Motor Estate, I believe, is more of a right than a privilege. Sure, it's a privilege if we attend a church like this, but it is a right, and like any other right, if it's abused, it can be taken away, and we can lose it if we're not careful. So I guess in closing, just let's all remember that we are fulfilling the law of Christ when we bear each other's burdens. And of course, we want to treat each other the way we'd like to be treated. And most of all, let's act and drive the way that Christians should act and drive and not take advantage of our brothers and sisters within the Motor State program. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the way of Christ that you have laid out so plainly in Scripture. We love one another. We take care of each other in a body of believers. And we thank you for this opportunity of bearing each other's burdens in even our automobile insurance coverage. And I just pray that you would bless our time tonight, bless Mark and Brent as they share. Just pray that you could be glorified in the things that are said this evening. We thank you for your love. We ask that you would help us to love those around us the same way that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. I will open it up for announcements that any of you have to make at this time.
Next Wednesday evening, Giles and Carolyn will be sharing a report about the mission in Chile.
We plan to have our apples here on Saturday morning between 10 and noon. For those of you that have ordered, we also have a fairly good quantity of our own honey that we plan to have available as well.
Well, I suppose most everyone knows about the passing of Sylvia, Mrs. John Knisley. Funeral's tomorrow morning at Plainview.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I think we'll just go ahead and turn the time over to Brent, and we'll keep going from here.
Okay, if you would pass out those copies of the bylaws. I'm sure there's enough for one for every household, and if you're youth and you should have one, I want you to keep one. But like if there's duplicates on both sides for a household, you can give them back to the usher afterwards, because we're going to be meeting with the other five churches. Well, four more. We've already done one. So I'll use them. I'll get them used at those other meetings. But I wanted to go through the bylaws again. It's been a while. Probably some of you younger ones have never given this a serious look. And it's just a good opportunity to look at this again. And if you have questions, I want to be available to answer any questions you might have. And I'll pause as we go through this together for your questions as well. While they're passing those out, I would mention, as far as claims for 2019, this has not been the best year for Kansas. I'm up to 35 claims already. I've never had that many claims in one year before. And we still got 5 months left. So,
how about total dollars?
I don't have that exact figure yet because some of the claims aren't settled. But it's going to be over 100,000, I know that. I would mention that last week we did settle that lawsuit that's been pending for 2.5 years. It was actually scheduled to go to trial October 15th, and we were supposed to have a pre-trial conference with Judge Chambers last Wednesday. And the plaintiff contacted our attorney, and they made a significant change in their position. They were asking, the lawsuit was asking for like $600,000-$700,000. And what they wanted originally was for me to offer my limits. And that would let them go after State Farm for their underinsured coverage. But we decided early on we're not going to do that because it's not legitimate. There was no property damage to either vehicle. And this person that claimed to have injuries wasn't injured. She has a history of seeking prescription drugs. And that's why she was going to all these different emergency rooms and 80 doctors. And it was just a farce. But anyway, the fact that they came down from that demand told me and our attorney right away, they do not want to go to trial with this thing. they're wanting to take whatever they can get. And so we agreed to give them $13,750 because I figured I'd have that much in it if I tried it, you know, at this point, I'd have that much in it. So that one's done anyway, which that's kind of a big relief. I didn't want to turn this over to Mike and Mark with that hanging over their heads. So I don't have any attorneys involved at this point once we get the signed release on that one. So, but yeah, we've had a fair amount of claims in Kansas. I haven't heard nationwide of anything huge, and nobody's called me asking to borrow money, so that's always a good sign. But let's be careful. Okay, let's start. I'm going to skip a few things here that maybe we don't need to cover. But let's begin at the beginning because I think it's important. Mennonite Motor Estate, hereafter referred to as MMA, has been established due to the conviction for a biblical way to meet the needs of our brethren in the event of automobile accidents. MMA is not a commercial insurance company, nor will it operate as such. It is better described as a brotherhood aid sharing plan. Its intent and purpose is to enable the church to share in the needs and obligations of its members. May this plan be a means of keeping alive the biblical teaching of meeting our own obligations and providing an opportunity and privilege to share financial burdens with those of like precious faith. The Word of God is the basis and foundation of MMA. Its mode of operation shall be governed by this scriptural guideline: bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The following bylaws and guidelines shall govern and direct the function of MMA. I'm going to skip the part on governance because it's basically more toward the national leveling, which I will touch on a little later. Let's go down to church participation, number four. The number of churches permitted to become members of MMA shall be at the discretion of the MMA representatives. Regrouping into smaller independent organizations will be considered based on the geographical location of the MMA member churches at such time that the MMA representatives determine suitable. 7 years ago, those of us that are on the national board, we thought this might be getting to the point where it would be time to divide it. And so we brought that up at the leveling meeting, and there was basically zero interest by the total group of reps in doing that. So we've let that lie for now. Number five, membership in MMA is open to interested churches at the discretion and approval of the MMA board upon the applicant church's acceptance of MMA rules, policies, and guidelines. As part of the membership review process, whenever practical, a presentation explaining the function and operation of the MMA program shall be given at the applicant church by a member of the MMA board. And I've done a number of those. Last year, Susie and I went to two churches in Idaho and one in Montana that we gave a presentation at. And the other reps have done a number as well in the last number of years, or the other board members. Number six, as a means of keeping MMA membership to those of conservative-minded churches, those that permit the use of the radio shall not be accepted as members of MMA. And I don't know if I need to comment on that. That's pretty clear. And that was addressed 7 years ago as well, and there was no interest in changing that at that point. Number seven, churches approved for membership within MMA are responsible to satisfactorily meet the regulations of the state in which they reside. Number eight, the local congregation shall establish and maintain an account for the deposit of entry fees and assessments, and as a source of funds for the payment of claims in the event of accidents. If the needs are greater than can be met by the local MMA congregation, other MMA congregations will share in meeting those needs. The local congregation shall appoint a representative assisted by local brethren to administer the MMA program. To provide continuity and consistency, this position should not change frequently. And I don't think 20 years is a frequent change. But that is important. And the reason I wanted to do this gradually is because, you know, Mike and Mark are going to need to deal with other insurance companies, with lawyers, with government agencies, with irate people who've had their car wrecked. And so it's not something that you can just hand this off to somebody with no experience and expect them to be able to do that. So it helps to keep this position to somebody that's worked at it for a while. Any questions on that section? I did want to touch a little bit where it talks about the local congregation, if they need to, sharing with other congregations, and that's what we do at the national leveling. You know, every year, all the reps from all the churches have a meeting. This year, in February, it'll be in Mississippi, and we will take our total claims there and our total units. We turn all those into the national secretary. He compiles that and comes up with a figure that everybody pays for the previous year. So when you get your assessment in February, you're paying for the previous year. It's not like insurance. They bill you in advance, 6 months at a time. You know, you're paying for something you haven't gotten yet. But with this, you're paying a post-assessment. And that's why it's important that when we turn those assessments, when we distribute those in February, you know, if we go to the national leveling meeting and our claims are above the national average, then they're going to write us a check. If they're below the national average, we're going to write the national group a check. And those checks all get deposited on the third Monday in February. So it's really helpful if we can collect all those assessments before that. Because at that point, everybody's account should be back to what we call level. The total number of units that are in the program times $150 should be in our account at that point. In Kansas, that's pretty close to $300,000. And that's for all six churches. I'll just mention this. I thought it would be a good idea to have the motorist aid books audited before I turn this over to Mike. And so Mark Nisley is in the process of doing that right now. And we should have that done fairly shortly. So I want you to have, yeah.
You refer to the six churches as...
Okay. It's Center, Cedar Crest, Arlington, Cornerstone, Linden, and Oskaloosa. And we've already given this presentation at Arlington. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be doing it at Cedar Crest. And the other three churches are in the process of scheduling meetings with them, too. So we'll be going to all six churches.
And Oklahoma has their own?
They've got their own. The one at... Perkins, they were with us for a little while years ago, but then Oklahoma made some changes and we saw that was not going to work, and so they're actually under the group at Fairland, I think. Perkins is. Those are the only groups there in Oklahoma. Okay, let's move on. Member eligibility and responsibility. MMA program eligibility. A, the MMA program is only available to members and or proving members of the participating churches. B, fathers bear responsibility for the eligibility of their youth. Non-member youth who drive their parents' vehicle must be accountable to parents in order to be eligible. Where accountability and eligibility is questionable, the local committee and or ministry will assist in making a decision. And I'd like to encourage you fathers to do your job. Don't expect your motorist aid rep to do your job. You know, if you have children that really aren't living according to your church standards or that are driving like fools, let's not make all of us responsible for them or liable for them. Tell them, if you want to drive like that, go buy your own insurance. But your motorist aid rep should not be the policeman. C, parents must take responsibility for monitoring and encouraging safe driving habits for all drivers in their household. Individuals under age 21 shall not be provided coverage unless the parent's vehicle is also being covered by MMA. Some exceptions may apply. Now, the reason for that is because, as Mike alluded to, if you're a teenager, you're going to pay higher insurance premiums, probably till you're 25 years old. And so it wouldn't be nice for a parent to say, well, I'm going to buy State Farm for me, but we'll put the children on MMA so we can save money. It says some exceptions may apply. The only exception that I've ever run across to that is where we had somebody become a member of our church and their parents were Amish. And so you can't really say, well, their parents have to have their vehicle and motorist aid when they don't have a vehicle. So that might be an exception. E, MMA coverage should be canceled by written notice to those whose church membership terminates. 10, personal responsibility. All members driving with MMA coverage are expected to be conscientious and carefully observing all traffic laws and regulations. Deliberate and habitual violation of traffic laws is just cause for termination of MMA coverage. And we've thankfully had very few instances where we've had to do that. Number 11, members transferring to another fellowship shall continue to be covered by MMA until the transfer is complete. Unit funds may be transferred to participating congregations when a member transfers their church membership. Any comments or questions? Okay, next section, coverage provided. MMA provides liability, collision, comprehensive, and personal injury coverage. These are defined as follows: liability, property damage and personal injury involving another vehicle and its occupants caused by an MMA-covered driver. B, collision, property damage to MMA member's vehicle and or personal injury involving occupants of the MMA member's vehicle. C, comprehensive, covers the void that does not apply to collision and liability coverage. Examples would include fire, windstorm, hail, vandalism, theft, etc. D, personal injury. Any physical injury as a result of a vehicle accident, including funeral expenses, in the event a fatality involves an MMA-covered driver. 13, because MMA does not exceed a state's minimum limits of liability, MMA cannot provide liability coverage for vehicles subject to federal DOT insurance regulations. Any questions on that section? Yes, Shane.
Am I right that for pickups under 26,000, that state minimums are DOT requirements?
It depends on some of what you're using it for, I think. And what we're trying to avoid is those instances where the state, the DOT requires minimum limits of like 250,000 or a million or something like that. In those cases, we're avoiding those. We just feel like that's more liability than we want our members to be able to have to carry. Okay, coverage definitions. For the purpose of establishing coverage levels and values, As well as for assessment purposes, the members of MMA shall purchase units of coverage based on the value of the vehicle. A non-refundable $150 fee shall be assessed for each unit in the program. Units shall be purchased based on the following coverage levels. And you can see what those are. I'm not going to read those off. 15, the owner of each vehicle shall indicate the level of collision coverage desired, subject to the guidelines as stated in Bylaw 9. Members also have the option of purchasing only liability coverage. But I would remind you, if you only have liability, then you're not covered, or anybody in your vehicle is not covered for injury, and your vehicle has no coverage for damage. So that's something to consider, even if the vehicle may not be worth all that much. Trailer guidelines, I don't think I'll spend a lot of time reading that, but if they're under 2,000 pounds, you don't need to add anything. If they're over that, and that's gross weight, then you do need to add a half unit, because anytime you hook onto a trailer, you are increasing the chance that something could go wrong. And there's a chart there for trailer. If you want to cover a trailer and your cargo, that chart under trailer and cargo coverage is what you would use for that. And it takes less units to get the same amount of coverage under that as it does for a vehicle. Number 17. Since the liability risk involving larger commercial use vehicles and trailers is greater, representatives should take liability risk factors into consideration when coverage is requested. The number of units required for coverage of such vehicles shall be determined by the local rep or board. Coverage of commercial vehicles shall be limited to those vehicles able to legally meet the limits of liability that also apply to non-commercial vehicles, and that's what I was referring to earlier on your question, Shane. And number 18, when a vehicle has been purchased with a bank loan and the bank is listed as the loss payee, the coverage shall not be less than the outstanding loan balance. So if you buy a vehicle with a loan, it's helpful if you tell your rep, for now you'd tell me, or later you'd tell Mike, hey, I got a bank loan on this. Because if you don't tell him, he's going to find out anyway, because the bank's going to contact either you or him and say, I want a proof showing that we're the loss payee on that vehicle. So that if you total it, they get paid first. Does that make sense? It's not that we want to know about your loans or anything, but it's just they're going to require that. We had a claim here just a month or so ago where one of our members totaled another person's vehicle. And I called this young fella. It was a 2015 Mustang GT fastback. And I called him and I said, do you have a bank loan on your car? Because I said, you realize your car's totaled? Yeah. I said, do you have a bank loan on it? Yeah. I said, well, I'm going to have to pay your bank instead of pay you. So he gave me the bank information, and they gave me his loan balance. And so I called this young fellow back. I said, what do you think your car's worth? And he told me, which was right where I thought it was. I had already looked up the value on it. I said, you realize you owe more on this than it's worth? He said, yeah. Don't get in that situation, young men. I mean, that's not a wise financial decision. So, any questions on that section? Yeah, Brian.
You mentioned that liability only not providing injury coverage for occupants. How does MMA and CAP work together on things like coverage both for those who have liability only or for those who have comprehensive? How does that work?
That's a good question, and that's a sticky issue. There are MMA churches that require their members to carry full coverage because they don't, their medical aid plans don't like having to pick up for vehicle accidents where they only had liability. So I can't force you to do that, but you might want to think about that. You know, we do have a lot of older vehicles in Kansas. And some people think, you know, I'm not going to put full coverage on this. If it's only worth $1,000, I can afford, you know, to buy another one. But that medical thing could be an issue. So that's something to think about. Laverne, you had a question.
On the trailer coverage, is that vehicle specific, or can the trailer coverage be for any vehicle?
It can be for any vehicle you're pulling it with. We used to kind of do that vehicle specific, but a number of years ago we changed that and we list the trailers separately, or for towing or a trailer with cargo and collision on the trailer. We just list them separate. In that case, we'll put the VIN of, we'll need the VIN of the trailer and everything, Marvin.
What if you have six trailers, but they're on there each two at a time? So if you have six individual trailers.
For towing liability? No. But, you know, the trailers themselves aren't covered unless you list them separately and cover them if you want the trailers covered. And we do have a number of trailers that we do cover that way. Okay, we'll move on. Vehicle. Coverage and eligibility. Vehicles owned by non-members are not covered. That's pretty simple, and that was one of the things that when we met 20 years ago at Topeka with the insurance commissioners. Were any of you here, went up there with us? I don't think so. There were six of us that went up there. That was one of the things they stressed when they gave us an exemption. You are not to provide coverage for people that aren't members of your church. So we've been conscientious, yeah, about doing that. I'm going to say comprehensive. I'm getting this insurance lingo here. Number 20, all vehicles covered by MMA must be in keeping with the regulations of the local church and are to be maintained in safe operating condition. This includes making sure that the vehicle has good tires and brakes. Trailer hookups need to be adequate for the load being hauled, the lighting and braking systems in working order, and adequate load restraints, chains or strap binders in place whenever a load is being hauled, thereby avoiding unnecessary claims and possible injuries. That's what Mike was talking about. That's a brotherhood mentality. I don't want to put my brother at risk. I'm going to do everything I can to avoid causing an accident or a claim. All requests for vehicle coverage shall be qualified by the local rep so as to avoid providing coverage for vehicles classified as high performance. So we're not going to cover your Corvette and that kind of thing. Number 21, each vehicle covered by MMA shall carry proof of financial responsibility in the form of an identification card with the necessary information as required by the state of residence of the MMA congregation. Number 22, coverage is provided for members using rented vehicles known as rental reimbursement. However, in case of a claim, the deductible is $200 higher for every level of coverage, for every level of difference between A, the coverage required for the rental vehicle value, and B, your member's highest covered vehicle value or his liability only coverage. And it gives you an example there. So we will cover a rental vehicle, but I would say in a lot of cases, if you are in a rental vehicle and you have an accident, your deductible is probably going to be more than $450 because, you know, a lot of these rental vehicles are easily going to be worth $30,000, probably $25,000. And so if your vehicle isn't worth that much, your highest covered vehicle isn't worth that much, then you're going to have a higher deductible. So you might consider that when you rent a vehicle. Any questions on that section? Claims and vehicle valuations, 23. In settling collision damage claims, settlement amounts will not go beyond A, the actual value of the vehicle, For example, 2 units of coverage equals a maximum of 5,000 of collision coverage. If the vehicle has depreciated to 3,500, the settlement will not go beyond the actual value of the vehicle. And B, the amount that applies to the number of units purchased. For example, a vehicle listed at 2.5 units of coverage would have collision coverage to a maximum of 11,000. So if you're driving a $13,000 vehicle and you total it and you only have 2.5 units on it, you're only going to get $11,000. There again, if you have a bank loan, you can't do that. You have to have at least as much coverage as your loan balance. So, you know, they're going to not let you buy less coverage. Number 24, when a vehicle is totaled and was covered for less than its actual value, the settlement for the undercovered vehicle will be equal to the collision units applied towards said vehicle less the deductible, and the salvage value will belong to the vehicle owner. However, should an undercovered vehicle have depreciated at or below the requested coverage, the settlement would not be more than the actual value of the vehicle, and the salvage value will belong to MMA. There shall be a $450 deductible assessed per accident. The deductible shall apply in all accident situations, whether the coverage involves full coverage or only liability coverage. When accident settlements and claim payments are made, all vehicle values shall be established according to book value. All claims turning into the leveling meeting require a deductible. Congregations have autonomy to use a different policy on the local level only. In other words, if we decide there's a claim that we don't want to charge a deductible for, we pay that locally, but we still deduct $450 on what we turn into the national. And by the way, that $450 deductible figure has been the same for 41 years. We've never raised that. So hopefully we can keep it there. Any questions on that? Limits of liability. The limits of liability of the MMA program are as follows. A, the minimum limits of liability of the state in which a member permanently resides shall apply because of bodily injury to or death of one person in any one accident. In Kansas, that's $25,000. B, the minimum limits of liability of the state in which a member permanently resides shall apply because of bodily injury and or death of two or more persons in any one accident. In Kansas, that's $50,000. And C, the amount of $25,000 shall apply because of injury to property of others in any one accident, unless the state in which the member permanently resides has a higher limit, in which case that limit, higher limit, shall apply. Kansas actually is higher than some other states. Ohio is lower than Kansas on those figures. And so what we're saying there is, we're saying legally this is how much we're going to pay. Morally, is that how much we pay? Not necessarily. You know, if I cause an accident and the other person's car is worth $30,000 and this says we're only going to pay $25,000, we're going to pay $30,000. That's what the cars were. In the same way with medical. But we're not going to put it in writing because of lawyers. You know, if they see you've got a limit of liability of $100,000, that's what they're going to ask for, even if they've got $5,000 worth of injury. So, you know, we just, that's kind of a protection. But ethically and morally, we're still going to do the right thing. You know, we're going to treat people how we want to be treated. And it's surprising how often when I've dealt with people over the years, I'll ask them, what do you think your car's worth? Surprising how often they'll tell me less than what I thought maybe they were going to, you know. Most people are pretty reasonable. So any other questions on the bylaws? I want to turn time over to Mark. Yes. Then you should only have it covered for 20. You should drop your coverage.
You're okay with changing
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can let me know whenever you think it needs to change. You don't have to wait till the end of the year. But don't expect me to keep track of that. I've got like 700 vehicles and trailers. I'm not going to know when it's devalued. That's up to you to let me or Mike know, you know, hey, this isn't worth what I've got it covered for anymore. As long as you don't have a bank loan on it for that, you know, we can lower it. But that's up to you. It's not a hard thing to change that. You know, all I got to do is go into the MMA computer program and make a few entries and it's done. And it'll keep track. Like if you do it today, if you had a vehicle on for 3 units and today you change it to 2, you'll part of the year you'll be assessed for 3, the rest of the year you'll be assessed for 2. It's not a hard thing to do at all. Yes?
If you want to take time for this now, that's fine. But I'd like to bring up a situation that happened in Melody's car earlier this year. raccoon. Ran over, again, ran over a raccoon. And I looked at it and I said, oh, wow. I know what's going to happen here. Well, I'm just going to want to replace the bottom radiator support and the condenser, probably radiator, I don't remember that for sure. And none of it was leaking. And I was wishing the car is, you know, it's older and it's not worth that much. I was wishing that they could have just, you know, bent the radiator membrane out, so the radiator support out so they could attach it to the air that is underneath there and replace the parts that were causing problems hypothetically. I suggested that Melody tell them something like that, but of course they went through and replaced everything, which kind of made us wince because it is just a newer car. Now, do you in any case like that try to work with Paul or whoever to try to?
Yeah, they'll often use used parts if it's available, or aftermarket parts instead of OEM parts. I don't have a problem with that. Although if we're dealing with other people outside of us, it's a little different. But
in a case like this, they were replacing parts that I could see why they would, but they weren't actually, they were not functional. Encourage them not to do that, or you just let them do it?
I'm going to let them do it, probably. I trust Henry. You know, I think they've treated us really good over the years. And I've never had anybody with the repair done there that was dissatisfied afterwards. And so, we've got a good relationship with Quality Body Shop. Okay, I'm going to turn time over to Mark.
One of the things that I thought about Arlen is that sometimes it's just easier just to put new parts in rather than risk any liability of, you know, pulling it out and damaging something. So I don't know what their policy is, but I'm guessing that's part of their reasoning behind that. So I'm not going to take as much time as these other brethren have, but I want to talk about some of the, it sort of gets old being reminded, but, and I know that some of you are going to wince a little bit, but some of the biggest claims continues to be people backing into their own vehicles or people backing into their garage. And we would love to take those things, and it's like the one brother said, well, you always have things that are going to be the number one in claims. And it's true. There's always going to be the number one reason why we have claims. So I guess what I'm driving at is that we don't, that our number one claims aren't simply negligence. If our number one claims are from running into deer, running a raccoon, I'm all in favor of hitting those animals, just don't run off the side of the road. Usually that ends much worse. But it is true that some of this stuff is self-inflicted. And I've seen reports where, you know, the member's name is listed right on top of each other, and both claims are the same day with about $500-$600 each. And, so I'll probably go home and back into one of my vehicles tomorrow. But I got to get it off my chest. I got to do my responsibility here. And the other thing that some of you know, and we're always reminded about it, some of you more recently than others, is the cell phone. And it's not even so much, well, it is, a lot of it is texting. There's a lot of issues with texting. But there's so many other things that you can do on a cell phone. Playing music, podcasts, takes your eyes off the road. And there's not too many young guys sitting up here, so pass this along to the next generation if you have that opportunity to just really, really limit the cell phone usage when you are driving. And also one thing I'd like to mention is that as we go through and we do claims, and you know, if you total your vehicle in this church, I'll probably meet with you and another brother and we'll discuss what you think it's worth. But I think it's a little bit helpful to know that probably most of our valuation is going to originate with NADA. So if you're sort of interested in, you know, starting a conversation where we're really close together on numbers, then you can do some research, and the conversation has to be like 3 minutes long, and we're comfortably settled on evaluation of your vehicle if it's totaled. So let's talk about what to do at the accident. And why is it important to think about what to do in an accident? Well, you think it'd be really simple. But it is a bit more complicated than you think at times. Now, it's one thing if you just have a very, very minor fender bender. It's not that big of a deal. You can stay calm. But there are things that happen in accidents that simply cause our minds sometimes to become confused by what we see, what we think happens. My uncle was killed in a train accident in Elkhart, Indiana. And there were three eyewitnesses, and all three eyewitnesses had different accounts. And they were within 60 feet of the accident. It just, that there is some just disconfiguration that your mind goes through on a violent movement, that it is hard sometimes to accumulate accurate events in a systematic way that actually makes sense and that we can make sense out of ourselves. So just stay calm. That's the number one thing. And try to collect your thoughts before you get out of your vehicle. And it's like so many times I read stories about people who have accidents, and then they get out of their vehicle, and they're stumbling around, they're not thinking straight, and they wander out on the road to look at the vehicle accident scene, and they get killed by, you know, by trying to assess the situation. And I, you know, get off the side of the road because the first thing that we typically do is, you know, we look for our cell phone and we find it, and, you know, we're trying to be accurate with our assessment to whoever we're calling. And sometimes people put themselves out in a worse danger than what the accident itself actually was. So one of the things that we don't want to say, well, we want to be accurate in what we say, but we don't want to just start, you know, running at the mouth to either the people that we've had an accident with, because it's like the one person said, we never have to explain the things we don't say. And you know, people are always quick to think and to remember what we say at the scene of an accident. We don't discuss whose fault it is. We let the officers take care of that. We're courteous. We give short answers. In our society today, what we're trying to prevent is from people taking advantage and claiming fraudulent claims, either against us or with their insurance companies. And so we have, I guess, maybe some responsibility in helping prevent those things from happening, and especially to the MMA. The other thing that you have to, or you should do, is most of us have phones that take pictures. And you may never need one picture, but it is so little effort to take 15 or 20 pictures at the scene of an accident. It takes so little time. And it's just so helpful if you ever have to go back and make a reference, or in the case of a lawsuit, if you have those pictures. It's really, really helpful. So once you have all the information gathered, just make sure that you call the representative, MMA rep, it's going to be Mike, the first call, is just do it as soon as possible. The last thing that Mike wants to get, or I get, is a phone call from the person that's had the accident with one of our members. We just don't want that phone call first. We know we're going to get the phone call, but we want you all to beat that phone call into us. And if at all possible, get a copy of the police report. And sometimes, I hit a deer in Nebraska, and he said, we don't actually give reports anymore. You can go online, and you can find it there. So I don't know how it is in Kansas. I've never had an accident here in Kansas, so I'm not exactly sure how that works. Maybe some of you would know. Do you guys get a police report on the spot? Those of you who had an accident lately? You don't want to spill your...
Not for deer. Usually, if you call the police, doesn't matter if it's the sheriff or highway patrol or local police, they will usually fill out a little paper that they'll exchange with both parties that gives you the other party's information. But that's not the actual police report.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it might take a week or two to get that.
Sure.
I had an experience earlier this year that we just traded information. It was minor enough damage that the sheriff's deputy said, you know, he thinks just trading information would be adequate. He didn't actually end up writing a full report. I think he said the threshold was $1,200, that they had that discretion. Damage ended up being significantly more than that. The liable party's carrier denied liability, and there wasn't anything to go back to. So, given the option, I certainly would have requested the official report.
Yep. Let's take a little bit more time. And the other thing, too, is just keep a copy of everything. Just don't be dismissive of any paperwork, receipts, tow bills, medical bills, and storage bills. Now, I want to tell you how we can avoid storage bills, and I'm pressing this pretty hard here. So if you have an accident and you need your vehicle towed, okay, you call, you know, D&D Towing, okay? So I don't know if they have a place where they take their vehicles, but they love to come out, tow your vehicle to their favorite location, and put it behind the gate and put the lock on it. And from there forward, somebody pays storage until it comes out. What we want you to do, very, very easy, is always have your vehicle towed to Quality Body Shop. If it's totaled, we'll take care of it. If it needs repair, it's right there. These tow trucks love to take it, put it in storage, you pay for towing and storage, and then you tow it back to Quality and they charge you again. It's just a cost that is, it's just an unnecessary cost that would save us a lot of money if you could just all remember that in the midst of everything that else is happening when you have an accident. I don't think that I have anything else. Does anybody have any questions? Good. No cell phone usage when driving. Thank you.
Thank you, brethren. I don't have a lot more to add. Brent's alluded to the fact that he's going to be quitting on us. And although he says he will, I think he's going to be given a fair bit of advice for a little while, I hope. So I'll be honest, I was pretty thankful when I heard that Mark will be involved as well. I can take care of little old ladies that have problems with furniture, but I think accidents might be a different level, and I think Mark's well suited for those, so I'm looking forward to working with him. Brent mentioned, I believe, but after the annual leveling meeting, which happens February 1st, is when we anticipate the change, most of the stuff being shifted over to Mark and myself. So what that kind of looks like is that if you buy a new vehicle, you need proof of coverage, you would contact me for that. Any assessments that we'll have to get to you as far as if you purchase new vehicles, need to purchase units or end of year assessments, I would be taking care of those as well. And basically just the bookkeeping part of Motor State, I guess. Some of the things that are going to be changing a little bit that may not be quite as handy is my hours probably won't be as I won't be able to be as contacted as easily as Brent was. I have a cell phone, but I also have to take care of customers on a daily basis, so I may not be able to answer your call in the middle of the day. So I'm anticipating calls in the morning and calls after 5:30 evenings, and be happy to help wherever I can. Mark will be handling the claims part of it, and we will hopefully by the 1st of February know exactly what each other's responsibilities are and not step on each other's toes, but that's what we're anticipating. I printed up some small cards with both Mark's and my contact information. It is somewhat complete, but I don't have an email address on there for myself yet. That will be happening. Not quite as up to speed on some of the electronic things as some of you are, but Mark mentioned pictures at the scene of an accident. Mark's email is on there, and I would say, however you can get the pictures to him would be excellent. Those things are going to be very, very helpful. Some of this stuff we'll hopefully have in place by the 1st of February. But another thing that I think I have taken for granted is all the work that Brent and Susie have put into this. I knew there was a lot of work involved, but I'm catching on a little bit that there's a little bit more, that there's more involved than what it appears to the eye, I guess. So again, thank you for your participation, and I invite your prayers in this as well. It is an arm of the church, and I think it's a good thing, so let's not neglect praying for the two of us that'll be taking on from here, and your help and your patience will be appreciated. I think I'll leave it with that, and maybe I guess we can just have a, I'll let you close. Go ahead, Mark. Thank you very much.
All right, why don't we stand and have a word of prayer? Dear Lord, we, as your people, have so many blessings, and one of those great blessings is each other. And I pray that you would be with us as we are mindful of the advantage that we have to work together as a brotherhood and to bear each other's burdens, and to just recognize that we're imperfect at times, and sometimes we're at fault. So help us to be humble, and as we walk before you and as we walk before each other, I pray that you would be with us as we dismiss, and give us safe journeys home tonight to our homes. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Dismissed.